I'm starting my third year with you now and my first year as your full-time assistant minister.
Oh, thank you.
So I thought it was time that we got to know each other a little better. So I want to tell you the story of my spiritual journey thus far, and Linda's going to help me out. And so we will begin.
Theism, belief in the existence of a God or gods, especially belief in one God as creator of the universe, intervening in it and sustaining a personal relation to his creatures.
I rejected that God pretty early on. I don't know how old I was. I do know that my parents would drive me to the local Baptist church and then pick me up afterwards. And from what I gained from that experience, I didn't really think that I wanted to have very much to do with that God. I couldn't accept this idea that God had had a woman give birth to a son that would then die because I was a sinner. Nobody helped me to understand how that enriched my life or added meaning or purpose to my life. So since this is what my parents presented, this is what I learned, and I knew it wasn't for me, there was nothing for me. That was my, you know, young 8, 9, 10-year-old analysis of the situation. I remember one time in church there was an altar call, and people came forward moved by the Spirit. They were embraced by others. Everyone was crying. And I cried after that service because I felt like an outsider. And I knew that if those were the rules, I would never be able to be a part of the religious community.
Agnostic. A person who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God, or of anything beyond material phenomena, a person who claims neither faith in nor disbelief in a God.
My father's religion was fundamentalist agnosticism. He believed that you couldn't know whether there was a God, and if you thought you knew, you were wrong. And one of his favorite things to do is to invite the Jehovah's Witness in and point out all the inconsistencies in the Bible and make his point that if you believed that the Bible was the absolute truth, you were in deep trouble. For me, after a certain age, my parents stopped driving me to church when I became preteen, young teen. And after that point, I didn't care. Religion was completely irrelevant to my life. And in fact, in these ideas I'd structured, there was no point to being religious. I thought it was Christian or nothing. I had Jewish friends, but I couldn't imagine becoming Jewish because it had its own issues with the supernatural deity that I was not interested in having a relationship with. So I was one of those nuns we hear about, N-O-N-E-S. We hear about so often these days. Somehow, I made my way to the Unitarian Universalist Church. Now, when I was about 10, I had a friend in the neighborhood, Trudy Amundsen, a great friend of mine, and her family went to the UU Church of Hayward. And she invited me on several Sundays. You know, I really don't remember anything about those visits. But apparently, unconsciously, I remembered something, because in my 20s, I moved a lot, and every town that I moved to, maybe 5 towns in 10 years, I would seek out the UU church, but I would never go in. It was too much of a risk, right? I'd already rejected one religion. What if this next try was a failure? That was it. This is how unconsciously I related to it. But But somehow, in January of 1989, I was brand new to Sacramento, and I found my way to the UU Society of Sacramento on Sierra Boulevard, and I walked in that door. Now, why on that day? Why did I come? We look at our newcomer forms that people fill out, and there's a question about what brought you here today. I don't know what I would have possibly put down. Something else? I don't know what I could have put down. A lot of it is an unconscious drive for something. But when I walked into that sanctuary on that day and I saw the blank banner, those of you who know the way our sanctuary was before, the blank banner was the one that hung right up here on this side of the sanctuary. I saw that blank banner and I was stunned, because that blank banner said, "We don't have it all figured out. You're welcome here. There's room for who you are and room for your ideas." So whatever I came for on that day, that sense of homecoming, connection, opportunity, spirituality, whatever it was, apparently I found it, because from that day forward, I never left.
Earth-based spiritualities. Earth-centered religion, or nature worship, is a system of religion based on the veneration of natural phenomena. It includes any religion that worships the earth, nature, or fertility gods and goddesses, such as the various forms of goddess worship or matriarchal religion.
The UU Society of Sacramento in the early 90s was a rather humanist organization of people. But there was a small group of women who would get together and worship the goddess. And I found this group. I found this concept that the divine spirit could be feminine, and it was transformational to me. It was my first taste of something that felt truly religious, with ritual, connection to something larger than myself. Now, I asked this question, and I imagine you asked the question, did I really think that those goddesses were real? Did I really think that when we evoked Kuan Yin and brought her into our circle, our sacred circle, that she really came? The thing for me, being raised in this fundamentalist environment, was this amazing opening to, it didn't matter whether it was real or not. That's the power of myth. That's the power of stories. It did not matter whether this particular goddess was real, because it was your heart and your spirit that connected to these energies of the earth, connected to this feminine power. It was a transformational experience for me. It was also inspiring to see older women behaving in really fun and crazy ways. I had no role models of older women, and the Unitarian Universalist community gave that to me. But I particularly loved the connections to the earth cycles, the recognition of the seasons, the acknowledgments of the change in the earth, the focus on recognizing the changing light, the longest day, the shortest day. I love that connection to the earth. And I still do.
Humanistic religious naturalism, an integration of two forms of thought. The first, religious humanism, which is humanist ethical philosophy explored through religious rituals and beliefs that center on human needs, interests, and abilities. And second, religious naturalism, which focuses on the religious attributes of the universe, nature, the understanding of it, and our response to it.
Humanistic religious naturalism. How that came together for me was through Buddhism. A friend, not part of the UU Church, invited me to the Zen Center at Green Gulch in the early 90s. And I essentially added Buddhism to this stew and mix of spiritualities and faith that was evolving in me. I loved that Buddha was essentially an agnostic humanist. He said, it doesn't matter whether there's a God or not. It matters what you do now today. It matters how you are in this world. That's what matters. And that's something that I could really understand. I also loved the Buddhist theology of suffering. I'd had suffering in my life, and the theology that said that Jesus died and it's all taken care of, which is a very immature understanding of Christianity that I had as a young person, did not work for me. What did work for me was Buddha saying that life is suffering, and it's our grasping for things that we want or pushing away things that we don't want that makes this suffering harder on us. This enriched my life in a powerful way. But the way my Unitarian Universalism and Buddhism intersected was through our seventh principle, the interdependent web of all existence. There's a concept in Buddhism called dependent co-arising. It's the idea that we are all co-creating the world in the way we interact with ourselves, each other, the way we act with the universe. This fit for me. And more importantly, it helped me see how I fit. An idea that we're all in this together, we're all co-creating the world together, gave me a place and a knowledge that I needed to engage completely and honestly, that I needed to live a life of integrity and intention. This idea of the web and this co-creation of the world filled me with a deep sense of connection and a mutual responsibility for all beings, not an outsider, but an integral part of everything. And in particular, it helped me understand a non-hierarchical way of the world where God is not up there, but we're all creating this interdependent web together. This has become a powerful grounding of my ministry.
Pantheism. A belief that the universe is identical with divinity, or that everything composes an all-encompassing, immanent God. Pantheists thus do not believe in a distinct personal or anthropomorphic God. Panentheism, a belief system which posits that the divine interpenetrates every part of the universe and extends timelessly beyond it. Unlike pantheism, which holds that the divine and the universe are identical, panentheism maintains a distinction between the divine and non-divine and the significance of both.
Uh-oh, it's getting a little complicated, isn't it? But my question was actually a simple one. We have this interconnected web of all beings, of the universe. And is that what the divine is? Or is there some spiritual force that is beyond, that extends beyond, in fact, that influences, that engages with this interdependent web of all? This was a question that I had all throughout seminary. I remember in a theology class, we were asked to write down on an index card our proof that God exists. Or not. And I wrote music. It was hard for me. I knew that music seemed to come from some other place than just the human interaction and the human interaction with nature. Where I found a clue to how I could move forward with this was with James Luther Adams, a very well-known Unitarian theologian from the 20th century. And he talked about the idea of the divine initiative, something like grace or inspiration. He talked about how this divine inspiration can call us. He said the divine initiative is a response not just to other human individuals and human experience, but it's a transcending, redemptive, transformative power. Spirit of life. come unto me. The process theologian Catherine Keller helped me along further with an idea of two forms of this divine power, this spiritual energy that engages with the world, that enlivens and inspires us. She talked about the idea of eros. This is a divine energy, a spirit that encourages us towards love and creativity, that lures us to go deeper, that challenges us and inspires us. And she talked about agape, the great compassionate love that holds us all, the love that Jesus Christ spoke of. I knew that I must open my heart to this divine initiative, to this power of eros and agape. I knew that I needed to open my heart when it made its presence known to me, and to allow that spirit to help me live my life more completely, more justly, more compassionately. Spirit of life, come unto me, move in the hand, rise in the sea.
Earth-based, religiously agnostic, panentheism. Terms that Reverend Lucy created to make the point that it's not necessarily useful spending your time trying to find the perfect label for your beliefs, but rather to enjoy the discovery and find meaning in the journey.
So I'm back to agnostic again. I'm my father's daughter after all. My head is agnostic. I don't know if there's a divine power that is greater than the entirety of who we are, than the entirety of the universe. But with my soul, with my spirit, I do know. And I want to breathe it in rather than figure it out. I learned that I crave the mystery, that I want to be filled with spirit, and I want to be held in that transcending, redemptive, transformative power. I want this power to fuel my life and my ministry. After I'd been in seminary for a couple of years, my father, the agnostic, fundamentalist agnostic, was curious. And he was visiting me, and he said, So, what is this religion that you're a part of? And what do you believe? So I gave him an answer, probably far more than he wanted, similar to what I've told you, though I was earlier along in my spiritual journey at that time. I told him what I believed about God. I told him what I believed about death, what I believed about life, what inspired me, what empowered me. And as I told him, you could see complete and total astonishment on his face. And he said, "Where did you get that?" And then the astonishment turned to incredulity when I said, "I got it as a Unitarian Universalist. I got it on my spiritual search. I got it from reading and listening and being and engaging. I got it from my free and responsible search for truth and meaning in the company of my UU congregation." "You can't do that." "Yes, you can, Daddy. Yes, you can. You can do it. You can find your own way. And Unitarian Universalism can be your support and your encouragement on that path. It is the journey and not the destination that is important. I am still searching, and I will always be searching." Roger has said to you that Unitarian Universalism is not a rock to cling to, but it is a river to swim in. Will you swim with me?